do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
That's not brown rice.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
What? He sure is cool, isn't he?
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
And now,
let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Our feature presentation.
I'm sure what he's saying. Let's go, I guess.
Let's go.
So, I walked in this morning, put in the key card, which you have to do, and then you come in the front door, and then the alarm's on.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that way for
3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently not much of an alarm, and no one is alarmed.
Ever.
No, you go, okay.
It used to be, like, when we first started working here, because we work, we're Compton adjacent.
Yep.
The alarm would go off, the police would come. And then you'd have to explain to them, I'm sorry, this happened, that happened, or we don't know what happened, but the alarm's going off. Now the alarm goes off every day, and it's just like, alarm's going off. That's kind of annoying.
I know. I did, I did think about that the other day. I thought, this is interesting, and yet no one cares.
How many days in a row does the alarm have to go off before somebody either gets annoyed enough by it to fix it or worries that if there is a problem, no one cares?
Right.
Because we're crying wolf every morning.
Every single day.
So I don't know what's going on with this. It's turning into car alarms is what it is. A car alarm goes off and you don't go, oh my God, someone's car's being stolen. What a waste all of that technology
there you
was.
Go. What a-hole.
Right. Oh, no.
Turn off your damn alarm.
Now it's going to be 90 seconds or however long they go before it goes off. There's no – it just that it can happen when another car drives by.
Yep.
We don't need alarms, people. They don't work.
I think you're absolutely right.
Nobody cares. There's too many false alarms. That's the problem. Is it, if it goes off every day, how helpful is it?
Yeah.
But I'm just worried about here in that we have an alarm system, and it used to really, really work like clockwork.
Well, now, and I do notice when we leave, it's off. So at some point, either it just shuts off or someone turns it off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on a timer. I don't stand around and wait that long.
No.
But it, I don't know. It just seems like either the police should come or we should turn it off. That's it. One of the two.
I agree.
Because it's my understanding that that's how it works. But who knows? It's been going off for 3 or 4 days now, so. Every single day we come in.
This place runs fabulous.
It does. It's very well run. And, you know, we'll see from time to time, and I know this is ridiculous, but we'll see from time to time a warning. This person, they put up a picture. This person, you see this person, call the police. So it's good to know that we have such a great system in place that the alarm can go off, and we can have, you know, wanted posters up on the wall, and yet no one cares.
No one does
anything. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever when that alarm goes off. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It is a Wednesday morning. We have funny man Paul F. Tompkins in the studio.
Excellent.
Very excited about that.
Yeah.
That is, that's one funny dude right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I was looking online for a video of him last night, and he has an entire chunk on pie versus cake. When did we do that?
Years ago.
I'm not at all suggesting he stole from us. He probably did it before us. But
yeah.
It is odd to see, like, that is the... That was an entire portion of his comedy, Pie versus Cake.
I don't think it's ever really been settled.
Which is better. Well, he settles it.
Does he?
He settles it once and for all with one word. And it's a word that I didn't really think of, but we had that long, drawn-out argument about what's better, pie or cake, and everybody goes, oh, pie, oh, cake, you're crazy. But why no one was ever really able to put their finger on.
Oh, so he takes care of it.
Yeah.
He actually
settles it once and for all. And the one word that he used, I think I changed my mind on it, swung me over from pie
really?
To cake. Yeah. So we'll have to ask him about that when he comes in.
Okay.
We have, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but in Japan where they have all the good stuff, They've come out with underwear.
Like radiation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they've come out with underwear that is fat burning. They have fat burning underwear, which I find hard to believe. You wear this underwear and you're going to lose weight? Is it just
super
tight? Like so tight you can't breathe? And then you don't feel like eating?
Oh, that could be.
I don't know. I can't imagine what the fat burning underwear is. And is there a chemical compound on it that, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It goes into your nether regions. But who needs that less than the Japanese?
That's a good point. That's a good point. You don't see a lot of fat Japanese.
Yeah.
We need it more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So fat burning underwear from Japan we'll tell you about today.
Okay.
James Marsden is going to be on the program today.
He's great.
Talking about the movie Straw Dogs, which looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a home invasion and it's got that tall blonde dude from True Blood.
Terrifying.
Yeah. That looks great. I don't know if you've seen the problem with Khloe Kardashian and the Kardashian sisters. They have lingerie that, I guess there's a lingerie and a swim line at Sears now. Because, you know, when you think of Sears, you go lingerie.
And Kardashian.
Yeah. But the picture that they put up is fascinating in that Khloe Kardashian, who is, let's be honest, the big one.
Yeah. It's hard to argue.
Kourtney is 5'3".
She's tiny.
Kim, 5'2". Khloe, 5'10".
Yes, that's true.
Now, they've photoshopped this so that Khloe looks like she's exactly the same size as her sisters. Kim might be tall. Kim might be taller. I'm not joking.
Serious?
I'm not kidding. Now, you can't see their feet, so I don't know if they're standing on, a chair with a box on top of it.
Whatever.
A couple phone books.
It's certainly not an accurate representation.
They also have them walking arm in arm, so you can see their feet. And maybe she's an inch taller. Maybe. It's a really odd.
So I wonder if they stretched the others or shrunk her.
Probably shrunk her. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, Photoshop is a really complex program. And I'm a kindergartner. I can use it, but I can only use the most basic parts of it. And I can do that. But they act like we haven't seen them. Like, we don't know that Khloe is.
Look at that and go, that's completely wrong.
Right. Like, Khloe could pick both of her sisters up and it wouldn't be a problem. She's a monster compared to them.
She is.
She's pretty. I would guess she's a little bigger than normal if she's not standing next to Kim Kardashian.
She is statuesque. You know?
Sure.
She's kind of, yeah.
But
like, you'd see that girl walking down the street.
But she's not
a girl.
But she's not as hot either as Kim.
No.
If I were Khloe, I would never stand next to my sister. I would just say, look, I love you. But when I stand next to you, I look like a monster.
Yeah.
But not in these photos. These photos, she's exactly the same size.
Photoshop is amazing. I'm sure their bodies are completely perfect, too, thanks to Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And their waists are 2 inches smaller than they really are.
Probably.
And, yeah.
Probably. But it doesn't make any sense to me. We'll talk about this next hour. But, you'd think that they would use her size to appeal to a woman that isn't 5'2".
Yeah.
Which is most women, I would imagine.
That's true.
But no, it's the exact same size. So we have that. We have This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla on the program today. Very excited about that. And Chris Cornell is coming up just after the top of the hour.
So he's awesome.
That's going to be pretty cool as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
That's right. Here I am. I said it, I meant it, I'm here to represent it.
Didn't say anything yet.
Oh, sorry. Someone alert the emergency rooms and the rehabs and the cops.
Why?
Because Lindsay Lohan's about to go off the rails.
I knew you were going to say Lindsay.
Oh, no.
Here's why. Samantha Ronson has announced she's engaged to her new girlfriend, Erin Foster.
Oh, wow.
And the two are reportedly planning to tie the knot.
Ooh.
Now, word is, Lindsay freaked out when she heard the news. Immediately started calling, text messaging, and emailing her former girlfriend, who got no response.
She has never gotten over that, has she?
No, like, she hasn't.
Oh, man.
And she said to be very bitter about Samantha Ronson moving on without her, and now friends say they're concerned for what she's going to do next.
party.
It's on.
Just saying, if you are a bar owner in the vicinity of Lindsay Lohan's beachfront condo in Venice, you're very happy right now because you're about to make your nut for the whole year, I'm guessing. If you're a Coke dealer, maybe you're happy.
How dare you?
You're happy unless you're a jewelry store owner. Then I think you might be concerned.
Mm-hmm. Might be in trouble.
Might be losing some inventory sometime soon. Will Smith wants to know that not only didn't his wife Jada have an affair with Mark Anthony, but they're best friends. I don't know if you saw the two of them at the Miami Dolphins.
Friends?
Will and Mark.
Oh, okay.
So that never happens.
The two of them were at the Miami Dolphins-New England Patriots game, and they had photo ops, and they're posing for the cameras with their arms around each other. And
oh, my God.
The press junket continues to save their marriage. Yeah, Lisa's right. Just because they're friends doesn't mean the guy's not boning your wife.
Man, that's usually who the guy is.
Yeah, next thing you know, come home early from work.
Yeah, never come home early from work.
They're off the set of Hawthorne. Next thing you know, I guess he's happy that show got canceled.
I'm happy.
They're not working together anymore. Yeah. Megan Fox would like to have children someday. She, of course, is married to Brian Austin Green. But she says she wants to be financially stable enough to protect a child's future.
Oh,
what?
Stop
says
it.
She doesn't have enough money to raise a family yet, in her opinion.
Megan Fox says that.
Yes.
Now, she's not a billionaire by any stretch, but...
But she's making more money than the rest of us.
Right.
How does she think other people manage?
I can't imagine.
I wonder what her income is. Is there a way to Google that for later in the show?
Yeah, I'm sure we could get an idea. We could probably get her paychecks from Jonah Hex and the Transformers movies and a couple other things. You get an idea.
She must have more money than 98% of Americans.
Her career hasn't provided enough money, she claims.
Wow.
So she's going to wait until the cash is sufficient, and that's when they're going to start having a family.
Does she want to hire someone else to raise them?
And maybe have them.
Because that can be expensive.
Maybe she wants to hire an entire another family just to raise her children. Look, and Brian Austin Green, he's got to be pulling in some money from his work as valet parker, right?
Sure.
He's getting tips. He's getting cash. You don't have to declare that even. Yep. You can just put that in your pocket.
You'll always get tips.
Oh, that's true. We just steal whatever change they have in the ashtray.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Bam Margera got into a fight in New York City with a cab driver last weekend.
I wonder why.
Well, he says the cabbie started the argument when he called his female companion a choice four-letter word. Four letters.
Four letters. Beautiful. No.
That's too many letters.
Hot, too few.
Babe. B-A-B-E.
Could be.
That'd be four letters. Apparently, his girlfriend spat on the driver in retaliation.
But
I'm sure he did that completely unprompted.
Yeah, are we to believe that a cab driver just turned around and went, you're a...
Hey, you stupid road! trying to think of other four-letter words.
Four-letter word.
The driver then grabbed her hair. Then Bam got in on the action.
Wow. What's happening?
Attacking the dude through the window of the car. Apparently, the New York Police Department couldn't figure out who to arrest, so everyone walked away. But that's a bad scene.
That is a bad scene. But I want to know what happened just before he grabbed her hair. Because he's not doing that out of the blue.
No.
Or called her that name, I mean.
Right.
Called
her
the name.
Then she spit on him.
Yeah.
Well, that's never an answer to a problem, by the way, spitting on somebody.
It's not a way to calm things down.
Adam Carolla and I always were on the same page with this. We said we'd rather be peed on than spit on.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Spitting is pretty much the worst thing you can do to somebody.
Yeah, I guess. I've never really considered those options.
Given those two options, wouldn't you rather?
She did it through the window, though. That's impressive.
Yeah, she's got aim. We know that about her. And congratulations, the latest Kardashian wannabe celebrity is on her way.
All right.
Kylie Jenner, I guess her name is, the 14-year-old model who is the half-sister of Kim, Courtney, and Khloe.
Now, this is the dude's daughter?
This is Bruce Jenner's daughter with Kris.
Okay.
Their mom.
Oh, okay.
Kris Jenner, who used to be Kris Kardashian.
I thought it was the daughter he brought to the...
No, this is he had two girls with Kris after they got married.
Okay.
So Kris has five daughters. Two of them are Bruce Jenner's. Three of them are Robert Kardashian's.
Okay.
Okay. She made her modeling debut last night for Avril Lavigne's clothing line.
A line for boys?
Avril Lavigne had a clothing line. Yeah, she usually just wears Converses and skinny jeans, doesn't she? Her appearance in the show had been widely criticized because runway models aren't supposed to be younger than 16. But they made, of course, an exception because She's a Kardashian.
Hey, I've seen toddlers in tiaras, by the way.
That's true.
Much younger than that.
Yeah, dressing like pretty women.
Yep.
Dressing like whores, like Julia Roberts.
Like a hooker.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Walter Koenig, who famously played Chekhov on the Star Trek original series and in the movies after that. He's 75 years old today. Actor Sam Neill, may remember him from Jurassic Park, is 64. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 38 years old.
Is that coming back?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. Relatively soon.
Can't wait.
Melissa Leo, my movie wife, Melissa Leo, Oscar winner for The Fighter, of course. She is 51 years old today. I was in Red State with her. Have any of you seen Red State, by the way?
Yes,
Red
you
State,
know,
the
I
movie
did.
Red State? Oh, yeah, no, that's right. You were there.
Yeah.
Kevin, you seen Red State?
Great comedy.
It's on video on demand. It's in your house. That's
great
all
comedy.
You have to do is watch. It's in your house.
I know. I was gone all
it
weekend.
It couldn't be any easier to watch a movie than it is for you. Just turn it on in your house.
And I will.
Ugh.
The support
is it already
is
gone?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. 51 years old today.
You.
And our own, our very own Johnny Beer Mug Cantro celebrates his birthday today. Beer Mug, unbelievably, is 28 years old.
What?
You're the worst looking 28 ever. You're going to die soon.
I hope so.
28?
He doesn't look a day over 68.
Oh, my God.
Jay Moore walked in yesterday and said, Psycho Mike, you've really let yourself go.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's talk about the Kardashians. I don't know if you watched the show, but you've seen plenty of pictures,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know that Kim is the hot one. Mm-hmm. And then Kourtney would be the hot one if Kim wasn't there.
That's so true.
She's pretty hot.
She's pretty cute.
And then Khloe's neither and is twice as big. But there's a new photo shoot where they have... I'm guessing photoshopped, unless Kourtney has, I mean, Khloe has learned how to lose weight and height because, and I put up a post, you can see it at kevinandbean.com, the pictures where she's the exact same size as her sisters. Khloe is the same size as her sisters.
Yeah.
It's for a new lingerie/swimwear line that they have in Sears. And so Annie Leibovitz, who's one of the world's best photographers, took the pictures, and then she handed them off to somebody else, and then they said, make Khloe smaller. She's too big.
Do you think originally they thought this will be great, and then they saw them, and they went, oh, no.
I don't know.
We have to do something.
She is 8 inches taller than her sisters.
They couldn't get them all in the same frame.
But, yeah, right. Either the top of the head is gone or whatever. So they photoshopped her so that Khloe looks exactly the same height. And they even have them walking where you can see their feet and everything, and she's pretty much the same size as Kim.
They thought we wouldn't notice?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, one of them's 5'2", one of them's 5'3". She's 5'10".
Yeah,
so it's a sizable difference, and they've been in the media a lot, so it turns out you can tell she's not the same size. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who they think they're fooling with this, but it's pretty funny the lengths they went to make her look like her sisters. And she's still... looks angry. So we decided to get her on the phone today as we have a good working relationship with Khloe.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk to her about this particular photo shoot. Hello, is this Khloe?
Hello, who's this?
Kevin and Bean Show, how are you?
Good.
Is this Lamar?
Yeah, Lamar Odom.
Hey, Lamar, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
You seem to answer the phone all the time.
Well, the phone's next to the bed, man.
Okay.
I'm on my side of the bed. That's where the phone is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Is Khloe around?
She's around someplace. I think she's getting breakfast.
Getting breakfast, okay.
And in trough.
In a trough?
Oh, Khloe! Look at the ball, baby! It's all for you!
Oh, here she comes. Downstairs neighbors must be pissed.
Hello?
Khloe!
Hi, Ryan and Juliana. How are you?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Am I going to be in East Top 10 tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I don't host that.
Yes, you do, Ryan.
Okay. Have you seen the photos? I'm sure you have for your lingerie/swimwear line.
Have you seen them? The photos for the Kardashian collection with a K?
I have seen that.
And Sears with
yes.
an S?
I have seen
it. On both
that.
Ends?
Right, I have seen that.
Yeah, that's like great.
Well...
are they beautiful? I think the photos are beautiful. Annie Leibovitz, you know, one of the best photographers ever.
She is. She's amazing.
Ever!
Right, I hear you.
Yeah.
But you seem to be oddly the same size as your sisters.
What do you mean, oddly?
Well, I mean, in the photo, it looks like Kim might even be a little taller than you.
She is. She's just a little bit taller than I am.
But she's five... 5'2".
Yeah, I'm just 5'1.5".
And you're 5'10".
What?
You're 5'10". You're 5'10".
Not anymore.
How do you lose height?
I went on a diet.
How do you lose height?
I went on a diet.
But height?
Spine diet.
What's a spine diet?
Pretty loose. Height? Spine.
Yeah?
And you get compressed.
Are you sure there's no photoshopping going on?
No, it's all me. I'm all natural.
But you're not anywhere near the size of your sisters.
Listen, everyone in the family is becoming like a photo model.
Right.
And I want to, too. Right. I want to be in the photos. I'm tired of people cringing when they look at my pictures. I want to be beautiful like the rest of the family.
This would work if there was any way to do that, but we've seen you a lot. You've been on TV. You've been out there, so we know you're bigger than your sisters.
No, I'm not. I'm petite.
But you're not petite. I think it's okay.
No, it's not okay. Not in this family. They'll point at you and go, oh, look at that gargantuan Kardashian.
Well, I don't know that
you do. Did you know when my name was originally gargantuan Kardashian?
I was not aware of that, no.
And then they changed it to Khloe.
Yeah.
Which is shorter.
Here's what you should do, though, is you should never pose next to Kim. Have your own photos. Have Kim have her own photos.
Good idea.
Then we don't compare. But when you stand next to Kim... I mean, literally, you know, you're an RV and she's a Ferrari. I mean, it's not a good comparison.
But which would you rather, travel on a road trip to Phoenix? That's right, the RV.
Ferrari?
Because you can carry a lot of food in it and table games.
Now, did you insist that they Photoshop?
Yahtzee!
Did you insist that they Photoshop these, or did somebody else come up with the idea?
I didn't. I'm very proud of me and who I am.
You're not.
And I'm shooting my own calendar right now. You interrupted me. I'm doing a photo shoot right now.
I don't know that we need a calendar.
Right this second.
Pose for the camera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is this sexy? How about this? Yeah. What? I'm working it.
Right.
I'm working it. What do you mean the camera's broken? Get out of my house!
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time to talk to Adam Carolla. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, get it on.
A little early for you, isn't it?
Nah.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It is. Okay, good.
You know, the great thing about getting up, it's horrible until you die. Like, it's horrible when you're five, and it's horrible when you're in high school.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. You're 27 years into your morning radio career, and it's horrible every morning.
It's horrible every morning. It never gets better.
It's really weird because I think people who work in coal mines somewhere around year 26 go, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
But not waking up in the morning. It's always horrible.
It's always horrible.
What kind of God would design that into human beings, knowing that you had to get up each and every day and starting it off with this horrible feeling?
I'm not sure that it's God, or we stay up late, or we can't sleep, or...
Thank God, Kevin. Come on.
In your case, there's a lot of drinking. You know, there's a lot of... things makes it harder.
Yes.
Adam Carolla, of course, has the Adam Carolla podcast, and you can see him. Or is it tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to be Thursday night, actually, with Brian Callen. He's a really good comedian.
At the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
That is true.
That's at Universal City. And the car show, Adam is on Wednesdays at 10 on Speed, but he comes on our show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working my way down to number one. Watching a lot of football over the weekend, and a lot of football means a lot of beer commercials.
Yep.
And they're always looking for an edge. And the problem is all the light beers, the domestic stuff, the Coors Light, the Bud Light, the Miller Light, it's about the same beer. In the flavor department, there's only so much you can do with 95 calories. I understand it, so they got to start working different angles. And they used to work the chick angle.
Yeah.
You know, the Swedish bikini team would get involved with the mix, or Spuds McKenzie would be partying, and there'd be a lot of hot chicks around going, hey, Spuds, take me, you know.
Right.
It's a great message to send to the kids. Now... it's all about innovation. Like in the Coors Light bottle, it's cold activated. When the Rocky Mountains turn blue, you know it's a. Was there ever an issue with you knowing it's okay to drink a beer?
No, this is a made-up problem, I think.
Yeah, was there ever a situation where you, like, opened the fridge and grabbed for beer and a buddy grabbed your hand and went, whoa, dude, only been in there for, like, 26 minutes. You almost drank a medium cold beer.
Yeah.
Back off and wait for the mountains to turn blue.
What did we do before this? We just felt it and went, eh.
That's the whole thing. You ever pull a beer out of an ice chest and hold it and go, I don't know. I can't tell. Somebody come here. Let me put this on your forehead. I just don't know. All the thing is, I don't want to crack it and burn my gullet because I don't know if this beer is cold or not. I just cannot tell. And by the way, would you need that for water? I mean, is there anything? You're pretty good on temperature, right?
It's pretty easy to judge, I think.
That is the one thing. And then, of course, Miller Lite has the vortex neck, so the beer comes out in a circular fashion.
Right.
It's easier. Again, anyone been holding, like, a Heineken or a Beck's and went, I just can't remove the beer from the bottle. Has anyone got a butter knife I can put in here? I can't.
It's I'm gonna not turn coming the... out. I don't know what to do.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm waiting for the Coors to turn blue. I'm going to turn the Beck's over in a bowl and just walk away. And then, you know, when I come back in like half an hour, when the Coors is cold, some of the beer will be out in the bowl. I can drink it with a straw. Ever an issue with a beer being cold or not coming out of the neck?
No, never.
All right. Never. So listen, you have a product, like I said, it's 95 calories. It all tastes the same. Just work some chicks into the mix.
I agree. Let's go back to the days where hot chicks are in the beer commercials.
Right, or at least a dog that they want to have sex with. That was a great message, wasn't it? Oh, Spud. It's looking good tonight. What's going on? What? Really? All right. Number two, ATMs. All over the map with the ATMs. And, you know, look, if you're going to use the ATM at the bank, you're pretty sure what you're going to get. But if you use the one in the strip club, it charges you $7. The one that's crazy is casinos and strip clubs are the only ATMs that charge you $7. And they're the only ATMs that should pay you $20. It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that, if I open a strip club, my policy would be the first 20's free. I mean, come on down and use, because you know those things are just going to get balled up and thrown back at the chicks or spent on champagne in the champagne room. It's insane. I'm charging $11 for ginger ale. Come on down and use the ATM.
No, but you know what they have, Adam, is they have the, if you're in the strip club, they could charge $20. And you'd go, I don't really want to leave and go get money and come back.
Right.
They've got you.
No, I know they got you, but still, and same with the casinos. Where are you going? You're going to walk across a sea of carpet, cross a busy avenue, and go to your bank drunk, and then come back,
and
then
get,
so you can piss away more money? Just saying, if you're in places where you're they're built specifically for you to piss away money, don't gouge at the ATM. And then the worst is the ATM that won't tell you what its max is. So you go to that one at the crappy liquor store,
yeah,
you know, and halfway to Vegas and Barstow, and you go 20, 40, 60, 80, or other. And you go, I'll hit other. And then they go, all right, how much? And you go, give me $200. They go, that's over the max. And you go, all right, I'll try it again. I'll hit other. Let's go for 180. Nope, that's over the max, too. It's like, I've had the ones where it says 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, and 100 is the max. So if the 100 is the max, don't put the other option. Because what do you think I want? 63, 49?
Yeah, give me the other amount.
Yes, and take a little piece of duct tape and say, max $100 if you have a low max. And furthermore, you should only be able to charge $1 per 100. I don't like the $3 surcharge when you have the $80 max.
Yeah, that's true.
That's BS.
It's much more expensive. That's true. I have spent many hours trying to figure out what the max is.
What? Don't have another. Or go ahead and take a Sharpie and just write on top of the machine, max $140. All right. And last but not least, movies. And the guys with the awesome memories in movies, that drives me nuts. Because whenever you got the detective, and he's hot on the lead, and then the phone rings, and he picks up the payphone. Or even in the, you know, Bourne Identity stuff or whatever, they always pick that phone up, and they'll be like, all right, Tuesday, 1 a.m., Old Pier 31 on Hudson and Row. Gotcha. And he hangs up the phone. No one ever goes, hold on. What? Hold on. Let me grab a post-it.
Slow down.
Because I don't feel like any, do you think someone could shout out a phone number and then a pier number and a date and a time? And by the way, if you're 5 minutes late, the girl gets it.
Yeah, it's always for someone's life.
Right.
It's the most important thing that you could possibly need.
Don't you think there'd be a moment of, hold on, I got a Sharpie on me somewhere. Hold on. No disrespect. Let me just go ahead. I want to get it right.
Oh, this pen doesn't work. Give me a second.
Yeah. What did you say? It was new Pier 31. I'm sorry, old Pier 31. Well, there you go. It's a good thing I got a pen. Never happened. They never write it down.
Oh, I'm with you. I just always thought I was the freak because I had to write everything down. I had no memory.
No, and there's then never that scene 5 minutes later. We go, what'd he say? Something about a pier. I don't know. And the other guy calls him an a-hole.
That would be much more realistic. Yeah. Adam Carolla, always great to have you on the show. Thanks very much. The Adam Carolla Podcast. Again, you can see him at the John Lovitz Comedy Club tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow night. And then he's going to come back in December and tell you why he hates the holidays. You can also see his car show on Wednesday nights at 10 on Speed. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Kev.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here for another look at the Showbiz Beat.
Today's Mug's birthday.
Today is Mug's birthday. That's
great. Mug's birthday,
yay,
everybody.
That's right.
I feel a little bad. I gave him a hard time last hour when we talked about it, so I wanted to give him his present. I brought him his present in.
Oh,
I didn't have a chance to wrap it.
Okay.
But this is for you, Beer Mug.
That's
here you
nice.
Go.
Thanks, Ralph.
There you go.
It's a box.
Awesome.
It's
a
box.
Happy birthday.
Nice! It's the Eggies!
That's right, my friend.
Hell yeah!
Eggies!
Thank you, buddy!
Eggies for his birthday!
Oh, awesome!
You the Eggies!
You got him the Eggies.
Woo!
The Eggies!
The best gift ever,
that's
Ralph.
Right. You're right, it is. Congratulations, Beer Mugs. You're now the proud owner of not only a dozen Eggies, but the egg slicer that comes with the Eggies.
Yes!
Congratulations.
That's yours, isn't it? That's the one that came to you, ordered, came to you.
No,
and you
no,
said,
that,
oh,
you
I need
two,
something
you
from
get
Beer
two.
Mug.
You get
oh,
two.
I see. Okay.
You can double up. You get two orders for the price of one with the Eggies.
Muggs was telling me yesterday that he spent the entire night trying to take the shells off
of trust
those.
Me, I have been there. Oh, I know what it's like.
It's
like
exhausted.
Our friend Psycho Mike Cather talks about drug addiction and those, you know, you hear that commercial where he talks about how people.
Sure.
I can speak from personal experience. I know what it's like to be exhausted and up all night after peeling hard-boiled eggs. Those days are a thing of the past for you now, Muggs, because you have the Eggies. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
You're very welcome.
Oh, man.
No, I have my set of Eggies at home.
Right.
And my wife, who I thought would be thrilled, just gave me that look, said, really? Do I have to not let you alone with the television anymore? You keep bringing this stuff into the house.
Yeah.
Really now?
You know
the
why?
Eggies?
Because
I said, honey, I'm saving you hours from peeling hard-boiled eggs.
And what was her answer?
You have the Eggies. She goes, you don't make eggs. I make the eggs in the house. I have no problem with the eggs.
I have no problem. Right.
I'm fine with it. It's a little extra work, but it's fine for me. I don't need this contraption. I'm fine with the eggs. I said, you don't even appreciate the time-saving... devices
not that,
I bring into the world.
You're not saving any time.
And she said, okay. And she opened up the bottom cabinet in the island in our kitchen and said, let's go through them, shall we?
Oh.
And she brought out the Grady, which I got her, which was still in the box. She never has never used the Grady, which I think is just a sin because it is really a creation. Like a miracle of science is the Grady. You no longer have to grate cheese. You just use the Grady.
Yeah.
Then she brought out the Slap Chop. Which I also
do. We need to go through a full list of things you have bought on TV.
I'm just saying,
because
she pulled out many, 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 many instruments of time saving and convenience, and she acted as if they weren't all great.
Right, and how
which made me furious.
How used were they all?
She does not use them nearly as much as I thought she would when I first purchased them.
Right, and do you do any cooking?
Not that much.
Okay, so you don't use them.
But when I do cook, I actually bring out the Slap Chop. That is
so
very,
they're
that's
unused
useful,
items. Is
that's
what
a
you're
useful
telling.
Device. And I told her her whole attitude about that's going to change when I bring home the perfect meatloaf pan.
I saw that
I don't know
yesterday.
If you've seen the commercial for the perfect meatloaf, but it is awesome.
He's losing his mind.
It's got a Teflon rack inside the meatloaf pan. After you cook the meatloaf, you simply pull up on the handles, and it lifts the meatloaf cleanly out of the pan. No more digging through the pan to get to the meatloaf while breaking it up when you put the spoon in.
That is
it
a big problem.
You literally cook and serve with the perfect meatloaf
you
pan.
You are a sucker.
And I am looking forward to the perfect meat. And when she finally gets the perfect meatloaf pan, her whole opinion about my purchasing habits is going to
change.
Is that
right? You think she'll love the Eggie then and all that?
I think she'll start to see it. She'll come
tomorrow
around.
We're going to have to do crap you bought from TV.
Yes.
Because I don't think anyone could beat Ralph.
I don't think, first of all, I have ever seen any crap sold on TV.
I know.
Everything I've seen in infomercials right. has been literally miracles of modern innovation.
So your wife, who, by the way, is very, very centered. She's got a good grip on things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She thinks through stuff.
Area.
She doesn't appreciate the gifts that you bring home.
She has a blind spot when it comes to
crap.
Miracles of modern innovation. Culinary innovation. But I'm telling you, it's all going to change when she gets that perfect meatloaf.
Oh, I know.
And she said to me, when is the last time you saw me make a meatloaf? I said, you will make more meatloafs now if you get the perfect meatloaf, and that's the whole point.
You're the biggest sucker ever.
Nutritious, delicious meatloaf will be a regular staple at our house once you get the perfect meatloaf.
All right,
man.
Tomorrow, crap you bought on TV.
She's a fool when it comes to this stuff. She doesn't see the magic.
Yeah, and how much money has she wasted on crap?
None. Well, she doesn't know. But
yeah, you do.
A great TV story today. Brett Cummins is his name. TV weatherman in Little Rock, Arkansas. This is a sin. I think this is a shame. In this day and age, in the world we live in, I would like to think we are more evolved than this, but he's had to quit his job as a weatherman in Little Rock, Arkansas, because he was found in a hot tub with another man.
What? So he can't do weather?
The scandal that has surrounded him being in a hot tub with another man has caused him, the negative press and the reaction from the viewers has caused him to have to resign his position as TV weatherman in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, true, the other man was dead in the hot tub.
What are you talking about?
And yes, true, it was an empty hot tub. There was no water in the hot tub. And the other man had a dog collar around his neck, pulled so tightly that his face had turned purple and he had asphyxiated.
Oh, my God.
But a few little details like that.
Those are big details.
Now make this guy seem bad somehow, that he was in an empty whirlpool next to a corpse.
Whose face was
purple and blue with a dog collar around his neck and nothing else on his body. A nude corpse with a dog collar around his neck.
Doesn't make him a bad weatherman.
That's what I'm saying. Why are we so quick to judge? And that scandal keeps this man from doing his job? Who amongst us hasn't woken up next to a corpse?
Me?
With a dog collar around his neck, who's been strangled by it in an empty hot tub.
I haven't.
No.
Oh.
Well, we haven't.
You guys have to live the life.
Yeah, live.
Police say a night of drinking and snorting illegal drugs preceded the death.
Wow.
No, they haven't really figured out the details yet.
But you know enough. What you told us is enough.
But it happened on Labor Day. This guy woke up in an empty whirlpool next to the corpse. The person who found him said he woke up because of Brett Cummins, the TV weatherman, snoring. And he went down there and found them there in the naked tub. So. Looking forward to piecing together those details. Cummins claims he doesn't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm. Really? Blacked out?
Yeah.
And he woke up next to a guy that's dead?
He's choked out with a dog collar, nude, in an empty whirlpool.
And what's your defense?
S happens.
That's not a defense.
That is my defense. S happens.
Wow.
You know, none of that would happen if they had the Eggies.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
They would have been
in the kitchen cooking wholesome eggs instead of cavorting nude in an empty hot tub with a dog collar.
You think they were trying to
cook
peel
eggs.
The hard-boiled eggs, and then
eggs.
They were like, this is too much work. Let's just go out and kill each other.
Well, only one guy ended up killed. No. Today's celebrity birthday is Walter Koenig from Star Trek is 75 years old today. Sam Neill. Remember when he fought that Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Oh, yeah.
That was bad. Never would have happened if he had the perfect meatloaf pan.
I don't think that would have helped him.
Actress Melissa Leo, who played my lovely wife in Red State. Not so much a lovely wife as a murderous, crazy wife, but...
You weren't the best of husbands.
What's the difference?
I was not the best of husbands. No, she's 51 years old. Andrew Lincoln of The Walking Dead is 38 years old.
And as I mentioned, our own Johnny Beer Mug Cantro celebrates his birthday today. Woo! Happy birthday. Enjoy those eggies, my friend. All righty. I'm Ralph.
Not a good looking 28.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K Rock is K R O Q, and it's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up, we have Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh.
Funny man Paul F. Tompkins in the studio.
One of my favorite comedians working today.
We also have a new creation. It's fat burning underwear. Apparently, you wear the underwear and you lose weight without exercising. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to exercise. You can sit on the couch and watch TV.
Finally.
And by wearing this underwear, you lose weight.
Best news ever.
That's what they say.
Hmm.
So we're going to find out if that's true or not. And bad pitches coming up in a few minutes. First, it's time to talk to James Marsden. We're getting him on the phone right now about Straw Dogs. This movie looks awesome, and I didn't see the original, which I guess was in
1971.
Kevin.
It's a long time ago.
Didn't see the original. I'm fine with that because this looks fantastic. It'll
it
be
certainly
new.
Is one of those premises that I think will translate well to a modern audience. It's not like a dated story or anything else. The concept pretty simple. A young couple moves from the city to a rural community, and they start getting increasingly sort of vicious harassment from the locals, and things go bad pretty quickly.
We have James Marsden on the line now. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You, of course, starring in Straw Dogs. Tell us how this came about for you.
Well, you know, I was right along with you, whoever was saying that they hadn't seen the original.
That's me.
That's Kevin, yeah.
Perfect. And I got the script. I knew that it was being remade, and I looked at the script, and I thought, well, that's just a great role. And then I said, I'm on board. And then I realized, did Dustin Hoffman play the original? And I went, oh, maybe I made a mistake.
Oh, I wonder if people are going to compare me with him.
I was thinking, James, because right. Even if you haven't seen the film, it is Dustin Hoffman. Sam Peckinpah, the legendary director, directed the original. Yeah, and I have seen it. It is kind of a classic. Is there any fear or trepidation when you're taking on a role in a movie like that?
Well, it's like you just want to, for the fans out there that respect the original, you want to make them happy. You don't want to. But ultimately, you just got to make your own movie. It's been 40 years.
Right.
I think that hopefully we're just reintroducing Straw Dogs to an audience that may not be, or a generation that may not be familiar with the original. That surely isn't, for the most part. And then as far as like just being compared to Hoffman by taking on this role, you know, I think I'm not Dustin Hoffman. We are two completely different people. And I think the director was casting against Hoffman-esque type,
yeah,
to avoid drawing those comparisons.
So you're saying
we are definitely making our own movie with all the Straw Dogs elements still in place.
Although I've heard you are starring in Rain Man 2. Is that true? Is that rumor true?
That would be that would be pushing it a little too far.
Yeah, you should remake all of Dustin Hoffman's movies. Kate Bosworth is in this as well.
Yes.
And she's something. Is she still together with Alexander Skarsgård, who's also in the movie?
Boy, I'm the wrong person to ask that, but I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I don't think so.
But you guys have a little history together, too, after appearing
in Superman Returns. And coming into this one, it was, you know, we stayed friends, and I thought, the centerpiece of this movie by which the original was defined, the very controversial scene in the movie, takes a great deal of courage on whoever actress's part coming into it. And I thought Kate really epitomized that. She's walking courage. So I called her up and asked her if she'd be interested in playing the role.
Did you really?
You're going into the trenches on a movie like this. You want to be with people you're comfortable with.
And I was telling Kevin, who hasn't seen the film, the original, the premise really, I think, now more than ever, translates great to a modern audience. I mean, the story really, I think, resonates.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's... There's a bit of fish out of water thing there, but it's also, this is a guy who sort of lives pacifically. He's, you know, he's a pacifist, and he doesn't. He always believes there's a sort of higher moral ground to take, and doesn't have to resort to violence and killing or any sort of fascist way of thinking to solve problems. And yet he's there, transplanted to the South, where that's the only way they deal with issues is, you know, violent football games or bar fights, and you know, that's the measure of the man down there. And so it isn't until his principles are challenged to the point where his life has been at stake, and his wife's life and his home is at stake, that he essentially becomes one of them.
And your wife in the movie calls you a coward. I saw that in the trailer. That's not good. That's not what you want.
That's worse than any punch thrown by
Ogden. It is. It really is just the worst. Here's a little bit of the trailer from Straw Dogs. I think you can get a feeling for it.
That ain't right, man.
That ain't right. I don't know what right is.
They were practically licking my body outside.
I'm firing tomorrow.
How much they gonna pay us?
Don't worry about it. We're all gonna get what we deserve.
There are 5 men with guns outside.
Take it in this house, we're dead.
He's got some man in him after all.
Don't be scared. This is my house. I will not allow violence against this house.
Yeah, how'd that work out, that not allowing violence in your house part?
It was a tough one, but yeah, it worked out. That was, I think we all went a little method for that final siege sequence. We all Skarsgård was launching me into walls and beating the hell out of me.
Did you get hurt for real, or was it all...
Oh, yeah, it really hurt for real. Yeah, no, it was not... It was. I think we all were like, this can't be your old spaghetti western, you know, saloon fight. This has got to be, you know, visceral and intense. And you know, it was a tough one to, you know, at the end of the day, hang your hat up and just go back to being your normal self. You know, there was a lingering effect.
Did you find that when you're immersed in that kind of darkness for an extended period of time that it kind of affects your own psyche?
It does, yeah. Yeah, I did. You know, I'm not that way normally. I'm as soon as the cameras roll, I'm into it, and then they cut, and I'm back to, you know, you sort of turn it off and on. But with this one, it was like you did start to feel a bit crazy, and the sociopath started to come out in you a bit. Not to scare you guys, but yeah, it was definitely.
I hope we don't run into you soon.
What's that?
I hope we don't run into you soon.
No. It's long since.
He's at the dry cleaner.
He's okay
Give
now.
Give me my dry cleaning now.
He's right. Okay now.
You're all right. Okay. Well, this looks really great. It looks really scary. Alexander Skarsgård, we mentioned, is in it. Kate Bosworth is in it. Dave Sumner is your character. James Marsden.
Yeah.
Straw Dogs opens on Friday everywhere, and it looks fantastic. And James, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay. Great to talk to you guys, as always.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Alex, our producer, is in here, and she's the one who has to go through all of the pitches. We get pitches that, you know, people want to be on the show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the people that we want, for the most part.
We have to run after that.
For the most part. It is true. For the most part, we have to hide outside their house, the people that we want. But the people who send us email after email after email with these proposals, and you go, do you have any idea how dumb this sounds, or who we are, or what kind of listener we have, or our music, or the
age? The answer would be no, no, and no.
Just blind send out the pitches and hope that they get some stuff back. So it's time for bad pitches.
Bad, 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 bad. Pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert, spokesman, or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn it.
All right, this one's for Lisa.
That was done by the guy who used to have to take the pitches, Lightning,
yes,
who was the producer.
It drove him to create that song.
Yeah.
This is for me?
This is for you, girl.
Then no.
Okay. You want to talk to Camilla Gray Nelson? A.K.A. the Dog Talk Diva. She has a trademark, by the way.
Wait, what's that? Dog Talk Diva?
She talks to them? No, she talks to women divas about their dogs. Because apparently women need to train their pets differently than men. I was not aware of this. I didn't understand that the dog...
What does Cesar Millan say about this?
Well, she is the authority for helping women manage the family dog.
Well, no one needs that more than Lisa.
Correct. That is true.
But let's give it to her and let her do it off the air.
Apparently, Camilla helps women, or the Dog Talk Diva, helps women be taken more seriously by their pets by not acting in a male way, but by employing their own natural feminine power.
And she wants to come on the show and tell us about that?
She does. She can answer questions like, how do you stop a dog from jumping? How do you stop a dog from barking?
Huh.
Because you need to be a chick.
I think everyone has this question.
It's not good.
I think no.
All right. Kevin, do you have emotional flatulence?
If I knew what that was, I could answer it.
Are you emotionally farty?
I don't know what that means.
Well,
is that the lead? Is that how they put it?
This is the subject line. How to avoid emotional flatulence and other relationship don'ts.
Oh, wow.
Relationship expert Roy Shepherd has a new book, How to Be the One.
who will explain how to break bad habits like emotional flatulence.
What is that?
It's snowball thinking and explosive conflict that happens when you misunderstand something your partner says or does. You emotionally toot.
Really?
Yep. It starts with eat certain foods, you'll get gas. But what causes emotional flatulence and how can you avoid it? I can't even say it.
Nor do we want to talk about it.
You guys want to talk about bras?
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Are there pictures?
Is it Victoria's Secret and are there pictures?
No, it's not even that good,
Kevin.
And
can it be a Victoria's Secret model coming in here?
No, because then I would have actually booked that.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the bra Kristen Wiig wore in Bridesmaids?
No.
Because On Gossamer is pitching their new signature Bump It bra.
Bump it.
Bump it up.
Which means
it creates
lift.
Maximum cleavage with a graduated push-up pad that adds a whole cup size. You can get it in mesh or lace.
No.
Bump it.
Okay.
No, I don't want to bump it.
All right. These are my... Okay, I'm going to try to get through this without laughing.
These are real.
Yeah.
All right.
This one has Dave all over it.
No.
It's called Cute...
With a K? Cute
no.
with a K?
No, this is not a this is not Kardashian related. It's called Cute Yummy Time.
Cute Yummy
like
Time.
You want to talk about some cute yummy time? 70 recipes for the cutest food you'll ever eat.
Really?
They sent this to us?
Is that working
anywhere?
Do you anywhere?
Need your food to be cute?
If I'm working at the Food Network, I turn this down.
Look, a cupcake is cute to me. Slice of pizza, adorable.
Right.
I don't need to dress it up. But apparently, Cute Yummy Time, a new book, tells the story of the kawaii cute food movement. There's a movement to make your food cute. It can't be sexy, can't be masculine, can't be daring. Must be cute.
It has to be cute.
This book supplies easy-to-make recipes for dishes that are almost too adorable to consume. Can I give you some examples of the dishes that they want us to talk about?
I'm not kidding. I think if I work for the new Food Network.
The new network.
The Food Network, I'm out.
But we could talk about their frog pita or their party owl egg white quiche. Panda tofu? Anyone?
Oh, God.
Look, I'm not eating tofu, period. If you dress it up like a panda, I'm certainly not eating it.
That makes it even worse.
It's not happening.
Okay, so I think we're no on all of those.
Well, last but not least... Piece de resistance.
All right. That's a big one.
I know you guys want to catch up with 1950s pop star Pat Boone. Because...
Is he alive?
Yes. Apparently he's like 78 years old.
Okay.
And I only know about him because my grandfather used to listen to him.
And what's he got going on now?
Well, he's got Pat Boone All-American Meats.
Of course he does.
He's selling meat?
Yeah. A new line of mail-order U.S.-raised steaks delivered right to your door. He was inspired by his friend Paul Newman. And the Newman's own brand, and decided the best way to cement his legacy would be to send meat to your door.
Sell meat.
Pat Boone, American Meats. Excuse me, All American Meats.
Are you, I don't need Pat Boone's meat.
Are you effing kidding me?
I mean, in general, I
no
think
one
I,
does.
No
but,
one
well,
needs Pat Boone's.
Maybe if he made it cute. Maybe, huh?
Let me think.
Pitch bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Right now we're going to talk about weight loss. A lot of people have a lot of ideas for weight loss. It changes every day. Oh, you know that diet that we told you about yesterday? That doesn't work. You got to try this. Oh, you know that one you just tried? That doesn't work. You got to try this.
Well, we know it doesn't work. That's why we're trying the new thing.
There's food that you can have delivered. There's everything possible under the sun. And the Japanese have come up with something new, though, and it's called fat-burning underwear. Fat-burning underwear. It's underwear that you wear... And they call it for exercise-shy food lovers.
Okay.
You don't like to work out, but you like to eat.
Bad combination?
This is the underwear for you. This is fine because this underwear burns calories just by having it on.
Well, how does that work?
Well, if only we had a spokesman from the company. That would be fantastic. Let's see. We have Hiro Yakamoto. Hiro Yakamoto.
Hey,
how are you, Hiro?
I'm good. How you doing, Randy?
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, glad to hear. Why are you so fat?
I'm not. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself fat.
Yeah, you are. You fat.
You can't tell.
I can tell by your voice you fat. You sloppy American fat man.
I'm a little overweight.
Fat.
I don't...
So fat.
Okay.
Is a woman there, too?
Yes.
She fat.
Wait, how do you know she's...
You can't tell.
She's not
Who
fat at all.
Who else is in the studio with you?
She's not fat at all.
Who else in the studio?
Lisa.
Yeah, who else?
Beer Mag.
Fat.
He's fat. Yeah,
fat.
You hit that one.
You can hear that.
All your listeners are fat, too.
They're not. Not everyone is fat.
Everybody's sloppy, fat, American fat. So all right. You all should wear calorie shaper pants.
Fat-burning underwear is
what
this
is. That's right. The calorie shaper pants.
Okay. How does this work?
It is greatest adventure ever.
Okay.
Better than the Eggies, believe it or not.
I didn't think there was anything better than that.
You put on underwear, and it no stretch.
It doesn't stretch.
No. So when you just walk, you have to work so hard just to move your legs, and that makes you burn more calorie.
That sounds terrible.
Yay! No more fat.
Sounds like a girdle.
It's like that, only don't stretch. Girdle's more stretchy. This is like, it's like iron armor on your leg. And
God.
How do I climb stairs? How do I even move with this? And you work so hard that your body burn more calories. So just by walking around like regular person, you lose weight, no more fat.
This is unlikely to me. It sounds like it's super uncomfortable.
That's why you fat. Because you don't believe and you don't wear it.
I wouldn't say I'm fat.
You're so fat.
I'm 10
pounds. Listen to your voice. The throat's so fatty.
What?
Hello,
not what I sound
I'm
like.
American DJ.
Stop it.
I'm choking in my own fat throat.
Is it? Is it true that they cost almost $50 per pair?
Yeah. And it's well worth it. Because then when you're slim and everybody love you, you say, I don't care. I got no money. People love me, and I'm thin.
Because I look good.
Are they comfortable at all?
No.
Of course not. They're not comfortable.
But
what do you want to be? Comfortable and fat or uncomfortable and thin, lady?
They're kind of around some sensitive areas, so.
Yeah, they are.
Do you have magnum size for men?
You
know what I mean?
You.
If you know what I mean, how do you know?
Because you're so fat.
Maybe I'm fat everywhere then.
This is one of our many line of calorie-burning clothing.
Oh, I thought this is all I'm aware of is the underwear.
Yeah, that's the first in the line, but it's so successful, we're going to have so many more.
Okay.
We have the calorie shocker pants.
What is that?
You put them on, and if you start to eat too much, we send electric charge into your private part.
Wow. That would
Trust
do
me,
it.
That would make you be very careful about what you eat. I just had one bite donut. Not worth it. It's not worth it for that donut.
I don't see myself buying that one.
How about the calorie stuffer pant?
Calorie stuffer pant?
Yeah.
What's that do?
When you're hungry, instead of putting the food in your mouth, you just stuff it down your pants.
Well, how does that work?
It works because you don't eat a food.
But you're still hungry.
But you have a pant full of food.
Right.
And that way you don't take in extra calories because all your food is in your pants.
Isn't that pretty gross at the end of the day?
Oh, no. It feels good sometimes.
No.
Especially if you like pudding. Oh, yeah. You walk around with the pudding in the pants. That makes you happy. You'll be a fat, happy Joe.
Do you have pudding in your pants right now?
I sure do.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up just after the top of the hour, comedian Paul F. Tompkins is going to be here.
Oh.
Ralph's very excited about that.
I am. He's one of my favorite comedians in the world.
A little too excited about that.
I don't think so.
I'd rather not hear you make those noises.
Good man. Good man, that Paul Tompkins.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Big hubbub today. I don't know if you've seen the photos or not. Scarlett Johansson.
Have.
Yes.
Victim of a nude photo hacker. Several self-shot naked cell phone pictures the actress took of herself. Appeared on several popular websites this morning on the internet. If you're just waking up and just getting the news, get to your internet quickly. Find yourself those Scarlett Johansson nude photos. I guess you can go to WWTDD.com. What would Tyler Durden do? There are several other locations you can find them. But the FBI will be contacted this morning because this is a criminal act.
Really?
The FBI's already been involved in several celebrity nude photo hacking situations in the past year. Vanessa Hudgens, Jessica Alba, and more. Someone has hacked into Scarlett Johansson's phone and pulled these photos off of her own personal phone. That is a federal offense, Lisa. Nice work. You're in trouble.
That's just...
I didn't do it.
That's other people knowing that she's not sharing and teaching her that that's not okay.
Why does Scarlett Johansson have to take naked pictures of herself with her cell phone?
Well, I don't know.
Why does anyone have to do that?
But I'm glad hot chicks do.
And I've seen the photo. Here we go. This is Lisa. I don't know if you've seen them or not.
There's no point in ever working out again.
That's her.
I'll never look
That's
like that.
Her just with her cell phone, just laying her song. Boom, boom. Right. And then her taking a picture of her butt in the mirror with her face. At least she was kind enough to put her face also in the photo so we could absolutely prove positive that it's her. There's no question whatsoever. This could be some other hottie with a nice ass.
Do people? Is it just that she wants to see what she looks like from the back?
I look in the mirror. She can obviously see. She's taking the photo into a mirror in front of her to a mirror behind her where her ass is.
A lot of mirrors.
Look at it. Just look in the mirror and say, oh, there's my ass. Oh, I can see that now. Who's she taking the photos for?
Maybe boyfriend or something.
Why does posterity need to see the posterior?
I don't know. It's very weird.
I'm sure her boyfriend sees her ass all the time.
But I don't want to discourage people from doing this.
I'm just flummoxed. I'm just perplexed. Why anyone needs to take the nude cell phone photos?
Because they're hot and they're proud of that. That's why, Ralph.
Then walk around your house all day long with no clothes on, impress your friends and neighbors, but why do you need the photos? That's what gets you in trouble. It's the photos. I don't comprehend it. Is it such narcissism? Is it such a case of, oh, I get so much attention all the time that I just think everything I do needs to be documented?
Hey, Dr. Doom, some of us like these photos. Take it easy.
But then the FBI gets involved, then it's your tax dollars at work. Why? Because she couldn't resist taking a picture of her boob? It's ridiculous. Stupid. Stupid celebrities. Bad celebrities. Down. Bad celebrities.
Good celebrities. Good.
Oh, Kevin.
Keep it up.
You don't. What now? What do you get out of seeing a picture of her boob?
I'm interested in seeing her naked.
You've seen millions of boobs before. Well,
I know.
You've seen four or five boobs before, so I'm sure.
How would I see five?
Well, you got that one girl who's a little off. You're a grown man. You don't need to see her boobs.
You're not the least bit interested in what she looks
not
like naked.
Really?
Well,
no.
Then you're bad.
It's fine. I mean, great. I mean, if she had posed in Playboy, I would be the first guy there at the newsstand to pick up the book.
The stolen aspect of it.
It's just bad all the way around. It's bad for everybody.
It's not bad all the way around.
It is. It's bad all the way around.
Well, you're wrong.
All right. I'll just have to accept that. Hey, Lisa, good news for you.
Yes?
I knew you'd be happy about this. Hugh Jackman is headed back to Broadway in November.
Oh, that's awesome
news.
It
is great news. It's called Hugh Jackman Back on Broadway.
No.
He's doing his own one-man show.
Really?
Called Hugh Jackman Back on Broadway. It's going to be a one-man show for 10 weeks. It's going to run in the Big Apple. It's going to be Hugh singing some of his favorite musical theater numbers, reminiscing about his life.
That sounds terrible.
Just
sounds
Hugh
fabulous.
Jackman and an 18-piece orchestra.
I love one-man shows.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
Nope.
10 weeks, that's all I got?
Sounds like the gayest thing I've ever heard. Hugh Jackman, of course, has already been on Broadway, and The Boy from Oz. That was his big smash Broadway musical breakthrough there.
But he was doing material.
He was doing the story of Peter Allen.
Yes.
The flamboyant singer-songwriter from Australia.
But this is not going to be that. This is going to be, hey, one time I was on
stage.
That's
where that song comes from.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
He sang that on that stage. He also did Steady Rain with Daniel Craig, which was a dramatic performance on Broadway.
And we both saw it.
We both saw it when we were in New York in 2009. So he's hosted the Tony three times. He's the gayest straight man in the world. That's mm-hmm. who he is.
Is he straight?
He's got a wife and many, many children. So,
I thought
Lisa would be very excited to hear that.
She is.
Producer Alex, by the way.
I actually, if I were in New York and this was on stage, I would go to see it.
Why?
Because I think he's tremendous talent.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He can sing and dance and act and do it all. He is one of the few true triple threats in the entertainment industry.
But isn't he going to get up and go, hey, here's another song I like?
Yeah, and he's going to perform it wonderfully, and I'm sure he'll dance and sing, and it'll be very entertaining.
But he'll probably talk about his career a little bit,
That's
which
right.
I think would be really interesting.
He'll say, and then I starred as Wolverine.
When my baby has big claws, I go to X-Men.
Be very entertaining. Oh, Kevin. What if he took a nude picture of himself with a cell phone? Now, would you want to see that?
No, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with you people? I don't even know you anymore.
Today's celebrity birthday is Walter Koenig from Star Trek. He was Chekhov, don't you know? Where are your nuclear vessels? 75 years old today. Sam Neill from that dinosaur movie. Help me out here.
Jurassic Park.
How could I forget? Jurassic Park, 64 years old. Melissa Leo, Oscar winner for The Fighter, who also starred as my wife in the movie Red State, mm-hmm. directed by Kevin Smith. That Kevin here.
She was
times,
very good.
How many
and
times
you
have
very
you seen
good.
It now?
Five. Six.
It's
in your house. All you have to do is sit down and hit a button and you can watch the movie that I'm in.
If that helps.
Lisa had to go to a theater to see it.
And I went.
And she went.
If it helps, I did think about twice over the weekend, hey, I should do that.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. You thought about it twice. We all know what
I'll
happens when you think about things,
I'll
Kevin.
See it.
No good comes
I'll
from it.
I'll see it.
Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead TV series. He's 38 years old today. And our own Johnny Beer Mug Cantrell, the man, Mahana behind the curtain, the guy who with all his hands and all the buttons.
Yeah!
So when you hear stuff go horribly wrong, you know who's doing it. I'm just saying. He celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is The Kevin and Bean Show, and we welcome Paul F. Tompkins to the studio.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Absolutely. Paul, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You know, I thrive on applause.
You do.
So even, four
people.
Right,
there we go.
It's
not much applause.
I'm alive again.
It's all we have.
You're like Tinkerbell.
That's right.
Paul,
thanks for believing in me.
You're a funny, funny man.
Ralph, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
And also,
my pleasure. I thought we were done.
And the reason you're a comedian. Many people know you. You've done many specials, and you do a lot of work around town. And you have this very successful podcast that you do.
Mm-hmm.
That Live at the Largo, right? Don't you do it at the Largo thing? Is that where you do the podcast?
Or
that separate?
No, that's separate. I use clips from the Largo show. I do a live show at Largo,
right.
And I use clips from that on my podcast, the Pod F Tompcast, which is a lot of
The Pod F Tompcast.
Yes.
Right. And I recommend it. It's very entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
But you are also known as a comedian that other comedians say that's the guy. You're one of those comedians where people say he is one of the funniest guys in the business.
Yeah, and that means only so successful. That's what comedian means.
That's why they like you, I think, because you're not too successful. You're not threatening.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
You're not good enough to take over their spot.
Yeah, that's right. This guy will never achieve mainstream
success. He'll never
success.
Even play the big rooms. No, that's for me. But he is very funny, and I like him. Do you appreciate that? Do you like when other comedians say that you're funny?
It's very flattering.
Does that opinion matter more because they're in the business or whatever, or do you like the common man to say, oh, I heard your CD and I have it in the car and it's very funny?
Oh, ideally both. I mean, it does mean more to me when somebody I don't know and does not do what I do appreciates
right.
what I do, because that is the goal. You know, it's like I as much as, you know, it's like it's a weird thing. Like, I don't think of myself as a comedian's comedian. I'm always swinging for the fences and like throwing stuff out there and like hopefully everybody likes it. But I've been doing this long enough to know that the best you can do is have the best intentions. Like, I hope everybody likes this.
Yeah.
I know not everybody
yeah.
will like it.
That's true. You understand that first thing is not everybody's going to like it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just human beings. And we do an April Fool's show where we bring in comedians and they all give us feedback like, I want to go after this person or I don't want to go after this person.
Yeah.
They all have a hierarchy of the people and there are certain people no one wants to go after.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
yeah.
that gets all weird every year we try to make up the lineup.
It is a strange thing for
Ray
sure.
Ray Romano's done the show several times and he doesn't want to go on after anyone. He wants to go on first because he's afraid that he won't be able to compare to other comedians who are on the lineup. He's Ray Romano. He's got more money than God. He's got the most successful TV show ever. Well, I don't understand.
That never leaves you though. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Like, I totally understand that because it's all about so much of it is about like energy, where it's like I'm quieter than that guy.
Right,
I can't
right.
go on after
so
him.
We have
right.
like Joe Rogan or people like that, and everybody goes, "Whoa, I don't want to go after Joe Rogan because that's testosterone filled." And
exactly.
no way.
Yeah.
But Ray is also afraid people are going to get drunk, and he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah,
with drunk
he doesn't
people.
Like that. He's used to the milk and cookie set.
but he kills. He's
of
always
course,
funny.
Yeah.
But
he's a funny guy.
He always has to go first.
So.
Yeah, going on first like a fox.
And you're an actor too. Is the acting thing first or was the comedy thing first for you? What did you do?
Well, I guess I did plays in high school, but I right after like a month after I graduated high school, I started doing stand up. I'd always wanted to do stand up.
Oh, wow, that's young.
I just didn't know how to go about it. And then
wait,
a friend
always
of mine done,
meaning you started right after high school. So during high school, you always thought
as a kid you wanted to do stand up.
Oh, absolutely. When I was a kid and I would see stand up on television, it was the most magical thing in the world to
wow.
me. You know, but it's like a classic. You know, I come from a big family, so it's like a person standing there all by themselves getting all of the attention, that seemed to me like the ultimate goal.
Right.
I was like, how do I
happens.
Achieve that?
Yeah. Now, your first step toward that when you get out of high school was mm-hmm. what and how did it go?
It was a buddy of mine that I went to high school with. He was a couple years older than me. Went away to college in Arizona, started doing stand-up, came back to Philly and said, do you want to get an act together? And so we went to an open mic at the now defunct Comedy Factory outlet in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes. Is it an outlet?
I remember well.
And you remember the CFO?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was it. We had kind of
how did it go? I mean, because a lot of people say their first time is just brutal.
It went well enough.
Well,
you know
in
what
Philly,
I mean?
You don't have that much competition, really.
Yeah. Well, at the time, this was a comedy boom.
Oh, that's
true.
In the 80s,
so,
right?
Yeah, this was 1986. And so there was comedy was just starting to be all over the place. There were at that point when I started, I think there were three clubs in the city proper. And then there was all this work was expanding in the suburbs and everything. Like
right.
Any place that had a spare room, they'd stick a mic in there, you know, because it was so easy to set up.
What was the place above the Middle Eastern restaurant? That, you
that was the Comedy Works.
Comedy Works.
That was my home club.
Oh, was that your home club? That's your home field?
There was a feud between the Comedy Works and the Comedy Factory outlets. You were either a works guy or an outlet guy. You couldn't do both.
Growing up in Philly, what's the crowd like? Is it any different in Philly than anywhere else, or is it a little rougher?
It's a little rougher.
Yeah, it seems to me like it would be.
Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia is a town where the fans throw batteries at their own athletes, you know? Like, we threw ice balls at Santa Claus at an Eagles game one time.
Yeah.
So it's if the crowds were vocal and if you were losing them, they would let you know verbally that you were losing
that
them.
That has to be terrible.
Give you a little heads up.
Yeah.
A little heads up.
It was
we're
great
about
place.
To rush the stage.
Yeah. You might want to evacuate. Yeah.
Yo, just so you're know. Terrible. Yeah. Get off the stage. Yeah. You blow.
Next.
That was a big heckle. I'm old enough that Gong was
oh,
one that
gong.
Was
yes. yelled out. Yeah, where's Jamie Farr?
It was a good place to start because of that, because it like it toughened you up, you know.
And you guys were doing a double act too, right?
You don't see a lot of that.
That's even harder.
Even today, you don't see a lot of that.
What was great about that was you had another guy up there if it was going poorly. That you weren't totally alone.
Right.
The bad thing was you couldn't really be in the moment because we were doing like kind of sketches, so you couldn't like stop in the middle of the sketch and say, "Excuse me, ma'am, would you please stop? Please stop yelling at us to get off the stage.
Please stop yelling next."
Yeah, there's nothing sadder than like people pretending that it's going great. When it's clearly not going great.
Just keep pushing through.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Comedian Paula Tompkins is here. He is going to be at the Alex Theater on October 7th.
That is correct.
Performing for a Comedy Central special, right?
That's right. It's a one-hour special that I'm recording for Comedy Central. This will be my fourth Comedy Central special.
And how do people buy tickets for that?
They can go to paulftompkins.com and all the information will be there.
There you go. We'll take a quick break. Paul F. Tompkins is here and we will come back on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have comedian Paul F. Tompkins.
He needs
the
applause. Come on.
Give him some
I live again.
There we go.
He thrives on it. That's what brings him to life.
We were talking about Philadelphia a little bit off the air. Paul and I are both from the city of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about colleges, and I finished college. I got my degree. You, sir, did not accomplish that.
No, I didn't. You really threw it in my face just now.
He did, really.
I'm just saying, some people are finishers and some people aren't.
It is true. I'm a college dropout.
Yeah.
I never think about it until I have to fill out a form. Every once in a while, it says highest level of education. I'm like, some college.
If I'm lucky, that's an option.
Don't you
wonder if they ever check? I mean, you get the idea. They have so many forms.
That's why I put down Harvard. That's why I put down Harvard.
Just put down doctorate, whatever. Who cares? How far did you make it in college?
Oh, a semester.
One semester.
One semester, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had that uncomfortable thing where you were like, I've got to tell my parents I'm not going
to
make it.
Yeah, I was terrified to do that because I thought this is going to be a gigantic getting yelled at scenario.
Did they have a dream for you that they wanted you to just fall in line with, or did they just want you to?
I think it was just they wanted me to. Yeah, I think they wanted me to have a college degree so I could get a good, stable job. And
right.
I did the exact opposite of that.
And
all
tell along your parents that you want to be a comedian. Is that what you went with?
Oh, yeah. My mother, on her deathbed, pretty much, was asking me, so if you figure out what do you want to do with the rest of your life?
Oh.
It's like, I'd been doing comedy for 20 years at that point. Like, I'm done doing it. Like, you can't get mad at your dying mother.
Right.
So I couldn't have an argument with her. It was like, everything's good, Mom. Everything's good. It's all working out.
But what was the conversation like? I mean, what did she say when you first talked to her?
When I said, you know, because I had already started stand-up right after I graduated high school. school, and then I went to college for about for a few months, and I realized like I just can't do this, and so I finally screwed up my courage, and I said to my mom, I'm going to drop out of college to pursue stand up full time. And she said, well, I'm going to drop out of college. And she said, well, we expected that. I'm like, I don't care for that reaction. If you knew so much, why didn't you tell me not to go in the first place?
Maybe they thought there was a slim chance.
Yes.
You might turn around.
We expected that. We thought you would subvert our expectations and actually make something of yourself.
No.
But no, you did what we expected.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so she said,
and then you followed that up with the 1-2 punch. So that was the setup jab. Now you're coming with the, I'm going to be a comedian hook.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. And she,
wow.
Well, we had already had an argument when I was in high school. I said that I wanted to go into show business, and we had a big argument about that. Where she's like, "Don't you understand how hard a life that is?" And I was like, and I said, "Yeah," although I did not. I would come to understand how hard a life that is.
She was right,
but it was totally worth it. So sorry, Mom, wherever you are.
Oh,
I win. Wow. First of all, I'm still alive.
You got that going for you.
Yeah. So you win.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Big one in the W column.
That's undisputed. Like, obviously,
you are absolutely
ahead of her.
I will guarantee he is alive.
Yeah.
I will confirm that to anyone who asks.
Now, was there a dad in the picture, or was it just Mom? It sounds like Mom was the overriding force.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dad was very.
He didn't care.
Yeah. Well, he. My dad's like one of those quiet dads. He's very remote, and my mother was the enforcer, and she was the mouthpiece for everything. So
your dad just acted like he was watching TV.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
There's no conversation going on in this room.
Exactly.
I don't know what's happening.
Exactly. Or he would watch us like it was TV.
How many kids in your family? Sounds like it was a big
six.
Family.
Six kids.
Irish Catholic?
Irish and Italian. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Wow. Now here's the next question.
That explains the silent dad, by the way.
Exactly.
Both of those cultures are just dad behind a newspaper for the majority of your life. Exactly. That's all I saw of my dad was the whites of his knuckles really clutching a newspaper as I went through the living room. That's how I knew my dad mostly.
Now, did the other kids go on to do stuff that pleased Mom?
Everybody else kind of got, everybody else went to college and got a degree.
Made something on themselves?
Yeah. And they got secure jobs and raised families and stuff
like that. So you're the only heartbreaker, really.
They're normal.
Because
I have two brothers, and they're both working on a doctorate, and they work in computers. Wow. Right?
So what?
Were you adopted? That's my thought. they both look alike. I look nothing like them.
Yeah.
So that's been the joke all along, is that I'm adopted.
You were found in a basket. With a dry cleaning bag wrapped around you.
But I feel like the failure of the family just because of that, not because my mom puts it on me at all. I can't imagine if my mom would say those words to me. That would be so much worse.
Well, is she...
At least she would hide it.
Is she proud of your success? And she's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's more stunned and surprised by his success than proud.
Yeah.
I know we are. We all are.
Well, it's a thing of, like, when you have a steady
I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a while.
Yes.
Right.
When she comes to town, this isn't a joke, I tell her that we can't get the station at the house.
So she won't listen.
Oh, yeah.
To this day.
I totally get that.
Because you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You get that?
Come on. Yeah.
Shut up, Lisa.
I send my parents tapes of the show.
I send them archived tapes of the show and make them listen.
But you're funny and good.
Oh, stop it.
So, please, have you sent your parents just the traffic reports?
Yes, that's all they need.
Some judicious editing.
Listen to this cigarette. I rocked it.
I really nailed that 405 report.
That's why everybody has to be quiet during the traffic reports.
We don't want to cue them if there's anything else going on.
I need a clean take of this.
Occasionally, we'll talk to Lisa about something that makes her mom embarrassed, and she'll bring it up every once in a while.
Yeah, we're filthy pigs.
And we have called my mom a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? That's the opposite of what I do. All right, anyway. Paul F. Tompkins is here. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Paul F. Tompkins in the studio.
My life's blood. Paul's an actor as well as a comedian, and I have to say I was so happy to see you on Curb Your Enthusiasm this season.
Thank you very much. That was a blast to do.
That was so
much fun.
For those of you who don't remember, Paul was the faux Jew lawyer Larry had as his divorce attorney, who he thought was Jewish so he could trust him, but then turned out not to be Jewish, and much to Larry's chagrin, he had to fire him. And,
yeah.
That was a great, great gig, and that's completely improvised, right? That's
your yes. Point. Yeah. You are given the scenario, and that's about it, and we do the scene, 3 to 4 times, and then they don't like to do it any more than that, because it starts to, then you start to you run the risk of repeating yourself, and then it becomes written. You know, so it's always like trying to keep it as loose and conversational as possible.
Was that intimidating at the beginning, or no?
You've got a ton of improv.
It would be for me. I didn't have an improv background.
It was totally freeing. You know, I was kind of, before we started, I was like, man, I hope this goes all right. You know, this is like because they have been doing this show for a million years. Right. You know, and it's like being a new guy in that situation is.
Were you afraid they're going to go cut? Bring in the next guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Backup plan for your lawyer role.
Yeah. Well, because you know you feel like they could say cut. You know what? We're just going to make up something else.
We'll do a phoner.
Yeah,
Larry will talk to someone
to an unseen,
off screen.
Yes, exactly.
What's the audition like for something like that? How do they know you can pull it off or not?
Yeah. Well, that's when they find out. You know, the audition is. I remember I was the fifth guy that day, so I'm waiting outside the room where they're auditioning people.
That's the worst thing in the world.
I tell you, what was so funny about auditioning for that show was you could hear the people on the other side of the door because at a certain point they would all start to yell at Larry. And it was like, oh, this is – I'm like listening to a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Larry, you can't talk to me that way.
Like that kind of thing. So by the time I went in, I realized it would suit me more to not yell at Larry, to like approach it differently.
Stand out a little.
Yeah, and to just like go on a different take that I think would be funny because, it wasn't making me laugh when I listened to it.
Right.
And I was like, I think it would be funnier to just go – because everybody does – and I realized, everybody's doing that because they think they've seen this on the show. And so I went a different way where I just tried to stick to my story till the end, you know. So Larry's mad at me and I'm trying to just act like I have no idea why he's mad. And it's fun. Auditioning that way is so much fun compared to going in with a script and hoping that you're interpreting the lines correctly. It's because you're playing, you know, you're
just
totally playing.
Messing around, yeah.
Yeah, and Larry's there and Jeff Garland and the other producers and, you know, you're doing a scene with him and he's very, he's really nice and laughing and, you know, it was great.
Does Larry do that with every person on the show? I mean, does he?
I think he has to.
I guess it depends what
piece.
Role. Yeah, I think if it's a role where he's interacting with them significantly, then I'm sure he's there for all of those, you know, just to make sure. But I also don't know where how much of a process it goes through. I don't know if there's like a pre-audition kind of thing.
Get asked back twice or was it just one
time?
No,
it's just the one time. Yeah. But like, you know, so the producers knew who I was and everything and they knew I had a comedy background. So I think they were reasonably sure that I could probably do this. But, you know, just got to make sure that I click with Larry and, you know, then actually doing it was so much fun. And even like Larry David, this was what, the eighth season, I think, or something like that.
I think so.
And he's still like, we do a couple takes and then, you know, they're resetting or whatever. And he says to me, he's like, this is the best way, right? This is the best way to work. Isn't it? Like still after all this time.
He still appreciates how great it is.
Yes. He still marvels at the simplicity of it. Like,
and then HBO lets him
do
it probably.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's sort of an enigma in that like I play poker with Cheryl Hines occasionally. And I go, hey, when's Curb coming back? She'll go, I don't know.
Whenever Larry says it's coming back.
Like, one knows what's going on, or he just kind of is.
Well, he's got all the money in the world. He's got all that Seinfeld money. He doesn't have to work, obviously.
Right.
So there's no pressure.
And you don't know, like, when the next season is going to come up, even most of the time. It's really one of those things.
If he feels like doing
it.
Right. You know, and when he feels like doing it.
Or is he going to take a year off? It's a weird situation.
Oh,
but
if
the show's good enough, I guess he can get away with that.
Do you get intimidated anymore when you work with someone like Larry David? Because I know you've been working forever. But if I was in a room auditioning for Larry David, Jeff Garland was sitting there, I would get nervous just by the fact that they're them and I'm in that room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's you know, I don't think I could ever be that blasé about it. You know, it's still like, you know, it may be not intimidated, but it is like, this counts and you got to do well here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
it's a great opportunity.
The pressure is on there. Yeah. It's like really take this seriously and do your best work. And, you know, but it definitely is like a heads up of like, here we go. You know, you can't half-ass this, you know, you got to really bring it.
Did you walk out of the audition and go, nailed it. Sorry,
crushed
guys.
It.
Sorry, guys.
I felt good about it. You know, I don't know that I've ever walked out of an audition. I don't know if I've ever walked out of an audition like, well, I'm expecting a call.
Bucket.
Yeah.
Bucket.
Turn that ring. Her back on.
Everyone else head home.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm your guy. Paul F. Tompkins is going to be at the Alex Theater in Glendale. Yes. on October 7th, and he's going to be doing a Comedy Central special, if you'd like to go.
There are some seats left. If you want to go, I suggest you go to paulfthompkins.com and find out the information on how you can see the show be recorded.
Because, yes.
We've just been chatting, and you can tell he's a funny guy, but his stand-up, if you've never seen it, is some of the best. So you really owe it to yourself.
You.
Well, you know I'm a big fan, Paul. You know that, sir.
Now, Paul, I hate to force you to do some of your act, but we... We did, I don't know, how long ago?
Nothing
couple
more
years ago.
Comfortable for a comedian than have him do his act on the radio, by the way.
We had the pie versus cake debate.
Well, especially when it's set up like that, and they have to pretend it's conversational after it's already been exposed.
No, I'm just saying, but we argued about it for months.
That bit haunts me.
And
I
never
wish
came
I'd
to
never
a
said anything. I wish I'd never
really,
said anything.
Really, that's the one you don't like?
Well, I look, it was funny to me.
Do
at
people
the time.
Bring it up a lot?
Now it's your greatest
time.
Hit.
Oh,
sorry. I apologize.
It's not even my greatest hit. It's like people still want to have the conversation.
It's because it's a genuine debate.
It's a genuine debate.
The way you delivered it was the end. When I heard it, this is it.
That's right. A definitive take.
This is a guy ruling.
Right.
Pie versus cake. Exactly. And we had that conversation forever. Yeah. And I think I was leaning over the fence on pie side until I heard you.
You're for cake?
I feel that in the debate.
Go ahead.
In the debate of which is better, cake versus pie,
yes.
I feel that cake pulls ahead because of frosting.
Thank you.
And my reasoning is...
My reasoning is...
When you eat frosting out of the can with a spoon,
which I do,
you feel shame because that's how good frosting is. You know, on a basic cellular level, you're not supposed to be doing this
because it's
too good.
Yeah.
And you would never eat pie filling out of a can unless there has been a disaster. You are in an underground bunker and you are running out of food.
That's true.
And the next step is you're going to eat whoever's left.
Excellent.
So frosting wins the argument. As far as I was concerned, that put it to bed for me.
Now, Paul, if you like, we can open the phone lines and we can have the debate if you want to. We can still, you know, if you want to defend your position, we can go through that. I don't know. It's up to you.
Now, have you ever had an on-air suicide?
Has that ever happened? No, we haven't. But we can use the ratings. So if you want to give us a little bit of a heads up.
If you're going to die anytime in the next year or so, would you come back?
I promise you guys, if I do kill myself, I will do it on your show.
Yes, absolutely. That is an
exclusive.
That's good to know. You can get the podcast at iTunes. It's called the Pod F Tomcast.
That's correct.
Did you do that so that people would never be able to get it right? Is that
your goal? Yeah.
All right, I'm just checking. And then again, he's going to be at the Alex Theater in Glendale. You can go to paulfthompkins.com if you want to get tickets. That's October 7th. Paul, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me,
Absolutely.
Guys.
This is
great.
This is a ball.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I've got passes to give away to the advanced screening of Moneyball, new movie starring Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Robin Wright, Philip Seymour Hoffman, the story of general manager of the Oakland A's, Billy Bean, who pretty much changed the way baseball was run as a business. If you want to check it out, you should. September the 23rd, which is a Friday. It's in theaters everywhere. However, if you'd like to see it a little bit early, 1-800-520-1067 for our special advanced screening of Moneyball. First three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a pair of passes to see the movie. We were talking about Megan Fox earlier in the show.
Yes.
Megan says she doesn't want to have kids just yet because she can't afford them. Says her career has not provided her with enough money to raise a family. Hollywood Reporter says she did an interview with them, said she'd like to have children, but isn't financially stable enough to protect the child's future. So we did a little research. We went on a website called CelebrityNetWorth.com.
Who knew that existed? All right.
We just found that this morning. And according to their calculations, her net worth is $15 million.
Wow.
Oh, well, that's practically poverty.
Yeah, she is right there on the line, I think.
I wonder if her idea of raising a family is dropping out of showbiz for a while. Maybe there's no more income. Maybe that's what she's...
She needs more savings?
Yeah.
How long is she going to drop out of show business? She's got $15 million.
I don't know. I'm just trying to put myself in her mindset.
Her kids
that's not
could
enough.
Be in high school by the time she returns to show business, and then she can start making money again.
Yeah.
$15 million could last you a long time.
I agree.
For some people, it's more than they make in a lifetime.
Right.
Maybe this is just what she's telling her husband.
Ah, I see.
Oh, interesting.
Honey, I want to have children.
Not yet, Brian. We have to wait till we have some more money.
So can I hear him again?
Honey, I want to have children. I love you so much. Can I raise your babies?
Weasel.
Basil. So there's your answer. $15 million, that's what she's got. But it's not enough for
not
kids.
Enough.
That's not enough to have the kids. By the way, Ruth had another story where she was complaining that she only got $800,000 for the first Transformers movie.
Right.
And she said she didn't know if she could really work for that amount.
Too low?
Too low, yeah.
$800,000. That's a lot.
To run from robots.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
She looks pretty good doing it, though.
She does. She's got that going for her. You know who else looks good is Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this morning on the internet or not, but some nude photos of her have been leaked to several popular websites. It looks like someone hacked into her cell phone, found her cell phone pictures, and now they're all over the internet. The FBI is being contacted to look into it because this is a felony. Other celebrity nude photo hacking situations the FBI has been called into involve Vanessa Hudgens and Jessica Alba, so they must have a whole department there just to handle that. That's the FBI agent I want to be. Yeah. I want to have a little red phone on my desk. We've got more nude, smoking hot model actress photos.
Call Ralph. Leaked. He's the FBI agent you want.
I got my own team in a van or something, and we go screeching out of the parking lot.
Well, first you have to do more research on the photos.
That's right. Let me get my magnifying glass and my lubricant. I'll look these over very carefully. And this isn't showbiz news at all, but I can't not talk about this story. Okay. Chinese man named Zhang Nan, 56 years old, just got out of the hospital. Apparently, Zhang likes to bathe with live eels because he feels a great way to cleanse his skin. This is the same concept as using sometimes in spas. Yeah, they have like what they call fish pedicure. They put you in your feet in a tank with fish, and the fish nibble away at the dead skin on your feet and stuff. Eels will do the same thing. So he bathes with live eels. They nibble away at his body, cleaning the skin.
What happened to soap?
How about a loofah? Have you ever heard of a loofah, Zhang?
What the hell?
So he's sitting with the eels, and a particularly adventurous eel had decided to enter his urethra.
Oh!
The 6-inch eel. I don't know if Neil was in the bath with him or not, but the 6-inch eel slithered all the way through his urinary tract into his bladder.
Oh, man.
He had to be rushed to the hospital where they operated and found the bladder inside of his, the eel inside of his bladder and removed
it. Oh, man.
The eel was dead at the time, so that's cool, right?
Oh.
So gross.
Yeah.
Just take a shower, people.
Really?
Seriously. Honestly, soap does the job.
Get yourself Dove. It doesn't leave that soapy residue on your skin.
You don't need anything.
Cleansing bar. They
biting you to get clean.
You don't need anything to eat the filth off your body.
Stop that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Walter Koenig from Star Trek. He's 75 years old today. Actor Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. And I think he was in all three, wasn't he? Was he in all three of those films?
I don't know.
He was in the second one for sure. I don't know if he's in the third one or not. Melissa Leo, Oscar winner for The Fighter. Also in Red State, plays my wife in that film. Actually, I play her husband. She doesn't really play my wife. I more play her husband. She's 51 years old today. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 38. And our own Johnny Beer Mug Cantrell celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday,
Happy birthday.
Beer Mug.
That is amazing.
Yes, it is amazing that you've lived as long as you had, given your lifestyle. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the Showbiz Beat.
Do you ever wonder why your fingers and your toes get pruny when you're in the water for too long?
I've noticed it. I haven't wondered a lot.
It's always perplexed me.
Okay.
It's like, for me, it's like where do flies go at night? Remember that when I had that burning question I just couldn't get over?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where do birds die?
Where do the birds go when they die?
Right. Mm-hmm.
See tons of birds in the sky.
Uh-huh.
They must die sometime.
Right.
Why aren't our streets just littered with bird carcasses?
Right.
These are the questions that keep me up at night. These kinds of questions.
And what's the new one? Why is your skin?
Why do your fingers and toes get pruny when you stay in the water for too long?
I don't know.
What happens? What is that caused by? Research didn't even know. Doctors didn't even know.
Really?
They finally found out the answer this week.
Who found out the answer? Doctors and researchers?
Doctors and researchers.
What?
Neurobiologists.
Thank God they're spending all their time on this.
New York Times has the story today. Wrinkly fingers improve traction.
What does that mean?
It means it is an automatic response from your body once it senses you're in water for too long, that your fingertips get pruny and wrinkled because it helps wick away the water from your fingertips so that your fingertips will grab things more easily. You'll have more traction with your hands.
It's a self-defense mechanism?
Yes.
What?
If your fingertips were wet and they stayed smooth, you wouldn't be able to hold on to stuff. But because it gets wrinkled, it's like a tire tread. It's able to wick away the water into those gullies, and the raised parts of your fingers are able to for you to hold on to things more firmly.
That is bizarre.
That's bizarre.
Human body's a wonderful thing.
This has been the Human Body Report.
I know it's not showbiz, but I just thought I'd bring that news to you because I was so excited today when I read that. Now we know why. Now we know why the fingertips get pruney. It's your body's way of allowing you to grab things without them slipping out of your hands.
That's bizarre.
It's magic. Know what you can grab with your fingertips when they're wet? The eggy. That's what you can grab. All right, let's talk about show business news. Everyone's talking about Scarlett Johansson's nude pictures. Biggest story of the day by far. She had some cell phone. Allegedly, they're her.
Yeah.
In these pictures.
But wait. So much her. It's so her.
Are they stolen? If they're stolen.
They are stolen.
Then
yes.
It's her.
At least that's what her people are claiming. That her cell phone was hacked.
Okay, so then they're saying it's her.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess.
All right.
Photos of her in various states of nudity. One's a close-up of her on her side with her breasts. And one of her is a photo into a mirror with a mirror behind her of her and her spectacular hindquarters.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
Yes, it is. Now the FBI has been brought in because it is a criminal act when your cell phone gets hacked. That is a felony. So they're looking for the perpetrators, the culprits, to see if they can bring them to justice. I hope they spend a lot of time bringing these people to justice, because that is a crime. That is a crime, what they've done. And if there's any more evidence of that crime, feel free to send it here to this news organization.
There really are very few crimes that benefit us more than those.
We've talked about it all day, the nude photos. And I would think, I don't know, she seems to be in a very relaxed state. She doesn't have any makeup on. She's very sort of just out of the bath kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to take nude photos of yourself, wouldn't you want to look as good as possible? Wouldn't you doll up a little bit and just get yourself in your best possible light for those nude photos?
Unless you're just really trying to see what you look like.
I think she's just documenting her spectacular body?
Quite possibly.
For future generations to marvel at?
Well, clearly, or maybe to look at in 20 years and go, I used to look so good.
Maybe they'll be able to answer that question like we just answered why your fingers get pruny. We'll say, why is Scarlett Johansson so hot? Maybe the researchers will need this photographic evidence 20, 30 years from now.
Because if she's doing it for a boyfriend or a guy, she's dolling up as well. Right?
Yeah, you'd think.
That's strange. I like it, though. I'd like other people to do it that are hot.
You can check that out. This breaking story cracks me up. You remember Tariq Salahi and his wife, Michaela Salahi? These were the White House crashers. They crashed that party.
Yes,
became famous for that. Then they became famous because she was on Real Housewives of Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Then they got thrown off of that show, and she tried to be famous again by going on Celebrity Rehab, you may remember. But they threw her off of that show because they found out she wasn't addicted to anything.
Except to fame.
And Dr. Drew said, you really can't stay here because you don't really have an addiction problem. We pretty much like to keep the beds open for people who are addicted to stuff. Thanks for coming by, though. Now, her husband claims to TMZ that his wife has been kidnapped.
Oh.
And they expect us to believe that.
Michaela's been kidnapped.
Come on.
They are the couple who cried wolf. He contacted TMZ this morning and said his wife has been kidnapped, has been abducted. She went out to get her hair done, but never returned. Now he admits he has heard from his wife.
What?
She called home saying she was going to her mother's house.
Right.
But he said the number that popped up on the caller ID when she called was an unfamiliar Oregon number. And that when he called his mother-in-law to confirm, she said she hadn't talked to her daughter and she'd never arrived at the house.
We'll get back to you on that.
So then he called the police, called the Warren County Sheriff's Department to report a missing person. And they said, oh, we just heard from her. She'd called us.
What?
What?
Assuring us that she was safe, but just dealing with some family issues. He thinks they're not taking it seriously and they're covering something up. She's kidnapped. She's not believing. He's not believing otherwise.
That's the weirdest story I've ever heard. So she called the police?
She's called two people so far, him and the police, and said, I'm good. And he's insisting that she's been abducted. And the abductors are making her make phone calls against her will.
Wow.
Maybe she just wants to get away from this dude.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You can't figure out who's crazier.
I know. They are desperate.
They're quite a team.
They're desperate for some attention.
While we're talking about pictures and cell phones, did you see the pictures that Demi Moore tweeted of herself recently?
No.
Looking really good. Looking really good in a bikini.
She does look good.
She's another one who tweets a lot of photos of herself. Aren't stolen. These are actually put out there by her, and they're not nudes, but in various states of...
You listening, Scarlett Johansson?
Undressed.
Start Twittering those.
Start tweeting them. Mm-hmm. Star Magazine have pictures of her, and they're interesting comparison. They're taken 2 months apart, and apparently she is sporting a brand new set of boobs. She has once again got a new boob job.
You do find that women like to show them off when they get new ones, and I think that's a good trend. I like it.
She is like, how do I put this delicately? She's like a great old house that you just keep having to repair. You know what I mean? Like, the bones of the house are strong.
It's a good-looking house.
But you've owned it a long time.
A little old.
And you need just, every once in a while, you got to bring in the construction crew and you got to freshen up a room or two. That's all I'm saying.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes, you find them on strippers.
She is not shy about the upkeep. Sometimes there's an addition, an add-on, put a new room on. Sometimes you just want to redecorate.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I have some more passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Moneyball. Brand new movie starring Brad Pitt as the general manager of the Oakland A's, the true story of when he attempted to put together a baseball team on a budget by employing computer-generated analysis, and Jonah Hill plays his computer analyst in the film. Robin Wright's also in the movie, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Great cast. You can go to moneyball-movie.com for more details. You can see it in theaters on Friday, September the 23rd, or you can be one of the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 and see it on us early Wednesday. We're having a special screening. First two callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to go see Moneyball. Celebrity birthdays today. Walter Koenig, who was Chekhov in the original Star Trek series and also in all the movies. Kipton.
He did call Kipton. Him Kipton a lot.
Kipton. Say, his name's James. James D. Kirk. Why are you calling him Kipton?
He's the king of Mexico, that show.
75 years old today. Sam Neill celebrates his 64th birthday. We've gotten to the bottom of the Jurassic Park.
Good.
Question we had. He was in the first one and the third one, not in the second
one. Oh, that's odd.
Now we know. Melissa Leo, Oscar-winning actress from The Fighter, turns 51 today. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 38. And our own Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday, Beer Mug.
That's not brown rice.
No, it certainly is not. It's birthday cake. Help yourself. Beer Mug, the proud owner now of a set of Eggies. That's what I got him for my birthday. What'd you guys get him? What'd you guys get him for his birthday, huh?
Eggies.
Oh, did you really?
I was in on that with you.
Oh, where are you?
Can I sign my name to it?
No, you can't sign your name to it.
To the box.
To the box. For me, too?
No. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Olivia Munn on the show tomorrow.
Whoa.
We have, you bought crap from TV.
How dare
Ralph?
You, sir?
Ralph has bought it all, we
yes.
found out.
Not all, but
every
the best.
Every single thing that's advertised on television, Ralph owns. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We
that's
also have
true.
Dr. Drew, why he's interviewing 600-pound women. Did you see that woman that was on his show?
She's a big one.
But it's all below her waist.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that form?
She's that's oddly shaped.
That was really
bizarre. She's pear-shaped to the nth degree.
So we're going to talk to Dr. Drew. We also have a brand new Internet Roundup, and we have Jason Mayhem Miller on the program tomorrow. He's one of the coaches of The Ultimate Fighter this season. That's all coming up tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.